I never know in January, right, when we come back, are we supposed to say it's a whole new year? Because we actually start in September, right? So I don't know, the way the clocks are or the calendars, and it's amazing that we just get to come together and we get to share with one another the things that God has been doing in our lives, and we get to share prayer with one another, and we get to share in the study of God's Word. And I was thinking about when Yvonne was doing the intro and how, looked at Myrna, I was like, did she take my notes? Because it's the same thing that God was putting on my heart about His Word and how important it is in our life to not just read it, to not just hear it being taught, but to really take it in our daily lives. And let's just bow our heads and pray for this morning's word. God, we are so thankful that you are our Father, Lord, that you are the one who loves us unconditionally. Lord, what can we do to earn that love? Nothing. You give it to us so freely. And we are excited, God, as we study your word in these next couple of months to hear from you, to learn from you. Lord, to just see what it is that you want to speak to each of our hearts individually and then as a group of women at Calvary Vista, God. And we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you that it's alive, that it's powerful, that it goes deep into our beings, Lord, and it does what you want it to do into our lives to change us. And so we pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would just speak this morning, that you would teach us through your word, and that you would, even as Yvonne said, challenge us through your word, God, in Jesus' name, amen. You know, we're talking about feet, and I'm like, oh my gosh, of all days, I forgot to put on like little pads. So my feet are really sweating. That's why I had to take the Advil, so I don't swell up in the middle of all of this. But here we are studying in these next couple months about the sermons of Christ. And in Jeremiah 15, 16, Jeremiah writes, your words were found, and I ate them, and they were the joy and rejoicing of my heart. God's word brings delight to our hearts. His word is our daily nourishment, our sustenance. It's not something that we just read or that we should just read and then walk away and forget about what it says, but something that should go inside of us and gives us what we need in our daily lives to be more like Jesus, because that's the goal, right? As daughters of the King, to be more like him. His word lasts forever. It's powerful. It's convicting. It is challenging. And I couldn't help but think, you know, I've been preparing for this day to be in awe. Sometimes when we've been a Christian for a long time, it just gets routine, right? And we go through the motions and they're real, but we lose the awe of Jesus Christ, and we lose the awe of who he is and how he desires to teach us, to speak to us through his word. The one who spoke the universe into existence, God incarnate, he healed the leper. He gave sight to the blind man. He cast out demons. He set people free, and he wants to speak to each of us in this room. The one who was and is to come. Do you remember that in your daily life? Who is Jesus? Who is Christ that we are learning about? He spoke to us through his word, not just once, but daily, consistently. He speaks into our lives, and we have to ask ourselves, are we listening? Are we anticipating what he has to say to each of us? He's our mighty King, the ever-present one. He is all-knowing, all-powerful, and he wants to speak to each person in this room. And so I feel like he wants to give us a challenge in these next couple months to read his word, but don't just open up our Bibles and read it. Get your highlighters, get your pens, write in the margins. Don't skim over the words. As Yvonne was saying, I had it in my notes too, to be challenged by him. And then there's stories that we've heard over and over and over again, and it's easy to skip over some of the words. It's easy to skim through exactly what Jesus is saying to us, but don't skim. Purpose in our hearts in these next months that we don't skim over, that we don't skip over, that we're attentive to what God has to say to us, every single word. It doesn't matter how long we've been saved. It doesn't matter how long we've been reading our Bibles. I've been reading the Bible for many, many, many years, and I still am in awe of some things that I overlook, or some things that's like a light bulb. Like, why didn't I see that before? You know why? Because like Yvonne says, we get familiar, which is great. We want to be familiar with God's word. But we don't want to be so familiar that we skip over things that God might want to be showing us. We want to meditate on different passages in his word and let it accomplish. There is a reason that God has us studying his sermons. There is a reason that you signed up for a Bible study. And I pray with all of my heart that we stay strong, that we don't give up halfway through, that we don't put other things before coming to Bible study. There's challenges, there's sicknesses, there's illnesses, there's, you know, tasks that need to be done. Seek first the kingdom of God. And then all these other things will take place. God will make room for whatever is on our calendars. But he wants us to stay together. We look outside at our world and we see the craziness, all the chaos, all the division. Where are we going to get our strength? We're going to get it from God's word. We're going to get it by encouraging one another to stay in his word and not give up. And so, as you would go into your groups today, take a look around at your friends. They'll become your friends. How did we become friends with so many different people? It's through Bible study, through being in the group with one another, through getting to know each other, getting personal with one another, sharing prayer requests and praying for one another. Don't give up. I pray, every person I see in this room, I pray on the last day that we're all still here and we're still on fire week after week, to see what the living God wants to say to us. In 1 Samuel 3:10, this is my prayer for each of us as we journey through the sermons of Christ, that we may have the same words that Samuel had. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Speak, Lord, your daughters are listening. In 1 Samuel 3:10. So if you will, open your Bibles to John 13. I'm going to read really, really, really fast, verses 1 through 17, because I don't want to not read them all the verses. So in verse 1, we begin. Now before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. And Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments. He took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. And then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? And Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this. And Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him and said, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. And then Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him, and therefore he said, you are all not clean. You are not all clean. And so when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. This is the night before Jesus' death. You know, sometimes we have these lists of things, people try and encourage, oh, write down a list of things you want to do before you die. Would serving others be on our list? Would washing the feet of others be on our list? Jesus' life was consistently an example to us. He poured into the disciples and taught them the difference between worldly leadership and godly leadership. An important lesson that God wants all of us to know. There is a difference. We have a lot of leaders out there that love to be served, right? But they wouldn't serve. And as we consider this scene, we've all seen, I remember my husband bought, when he was like 19, he bought his mother this tapestry of the Last Supper. And I have to think to myself, I don't know. We all see these pictures, right? In Milan, they have the painting of the Last Supper, and Jesus is in the middle, and then there's disciples on this side, there's disciples on that side. But I was thinking about it when I was reading this. I wonder if the disciples, I don't know who got there first or if Jesus was there at the same time, but I pictured these guys arguing, because they were really good. It's just like, they're like us, right? Just normal people and arguing about the different things. And then right in the middle of this scene, Jesus gets up. And I want to picture, but I really can't picture it in my mind. I tried really hard to just imagine what their faces were like. Did they notice right away that Jesus got up? Or were they so busy talking about what other things were on their mind that they missed it for a little bit? They watched him get up and grab a towel. They watched him get up and get a basin. They watched him get up and pour water into that basin. They watched him get up and tie a cloth around his waist. What were they thinking? Did they get embarrassed all of a sudden? The light bulb went off on their head and they realized, hey, we forgot to wash each other's feet, because that was the custom of the time. When we lived overseas, we walked a lot. And your feet get very dirty and they get very dusty. And thankfully we had bidets, because I'd sit on the edge of my tub and put my feet up before bed. And that's what I used it for, to wash my feet or shave my legs, right? But I wonder, what were the disciples thinking? Were they embarrassed that they hadn't thought of it first? Were they in shock? Jesus came down, but he not only came down from his heavenly place, but he bent down. He bowed low. He took the place of a servant. He stooped low and was not too prideful to take that role of a servant. In John 13:15, Jesus says, I gave you an example that you should also do as I did. And what was that example? It was an example of true leadership. You see, the examples that Jesus gives us are so opposite of the examples of worldly leadership. In the world, the higher up you get, the less you really have to do, because you have people that are going to do it for you, not Jesus. Godly leadership is being willing, and that's a key word, being willing to take the low spot, to not puff yourself up and say, hey, I worked hard to get up here. I'm teaching a Bible study now. No, it's the opposite. Godly leadership is different. It's a whole different world than the worldly leadership that we see. Not thinking too highly of ourselves. Not to think that we're too good or we're too important. We're not. Because who is our example? Jesus Christ is our example. And when we compare ourselves to him, who are we? Jesus never thought of himself too high to do the work of a servant. And he is our example, and he wants us to follow him. How do we respond when somebody asks us to do some dirty work? To do a menial task? Are we too prideful? Do we think we're above it? Oh, we've been coming to the church for a long time now. We don't need to do that. No. We're to be the servant of all. In Matthew 20, verses 26 through 28, Jesus says to his disciples, whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. Do we desire to be great in God's kingdom? Then we must learn. And that word learn, because it doesn't come natural to us. Serving isn't really something natural. That's why we have kids, right? Because they can go and do this. They can take out the trash. They can get our sodas. No, but we have to learn from our example. Learn from Jesus what it is to be a servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Opposite, right? So opposite of what we view in our world. Jesus is always showing us and teaching us to lay aside our rights. You know, we can be like those people. I have a right to this. I have a right to that. We don't. Because we're not to compare ourselves with others. We're not to compare ourselves with the people in the world. We're to compare ourselves to Jesus and look to him at how he lived his life. He is the King of Kings, and yet he humbled himself and he came down to this earth to serve. He teaches us to put away our pride. You know, we think, oh, I've got pride all, you know, figured out now. I don't have any pride left in me. Yes, we do, right? Because deep inside, Jesus knows all about us. We can hide it from those around us, even our family members. But Jesus knows those areas in our life where we're prideful. And he wants us to squash that pride, to put aside our selfish tendencies of always wanting to put ourselves first, making sure that our rights are granted, but instead that we would be those who not only desire to serve others, but that we want to. There's a difference, right, between doing what we have to do. Our dad or our mom tells us, you must do this, and we do it because we're obedient. But then there's a difference that we're willing. It's an attitude of our heart that we're willing to lay down our lives, that we're willing to lay down our supposed rights and be willing to serve one another in love, to have our attitude and the heart of Christ, that we would serve one another with humility and in love and to serve sacrificially. It's going to cost us something. Why don't we think it wouldn't cost us something when it cost Jesus Christ his very life? It's about our willingness to imitate Christ. Are we willing to imitate him at whatever cost it might be? And that cost isn't going to be the same always for each of us. It's going to be different. It's going to be personal. Are we willing to pay that cost? In Mark 9:35, It says that he sat down, Jesus, and called the 12. And he said to them, if anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. Again, isn't this opposite of what the world teaches us? What the world shows us? Work, 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 work. And you get to be the vice president or the president of a company or of the country. And then you have all these people going to serve you. No, Jesus tells us that we must learn to be the servant of all. And we see that Jesus didn't just preach it. He didn't just write these words down. He lived it. He practiced it daily. He is our example. He showed us what to do. And you think about these disciples. You know, aren't you glad that they weren't perfect people? That they had all these crazy backgrounds. They were legalists or tax collectors or fishermen. This is who Jesus chooses. He doesn't, you know, choose the high ups all the time. He chooses ordinary people because he wants to do extraordinary things in our lives to show us, to teach us. And you think about these disciples and Jesus, all knowing, he knows everything. He knew what was going to happen that night. It was no shock to him. He knew that soon these guys would fall asleep rather than stay up and pray with him in his final hours. He knew that some of them would be afraid and they would scatter when he needed them most. He knew that one would deny him, and he even knew that one would betray him. But he still washed their feet. He washed all 12 of their feet. Are we willing to do the same? Are we willing to wash the feet of those who hurt us, of those who betray us, of those who are afraid to be around us? Are we willing to imitate Christ in that same way? And going back to our text in verses 13 to 17, Jesus says to them, after he finishes washing their feet, he says, you call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for that's who I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. It's faith in action. It's love in action. We can read the Bible morning, noon, and night, but if we don't put what we've read into action, what good is it for us? How does it change us? How does it challenge us if we're not allowing his word to cause us to do what it says, to be obedient? 1 John 3:18, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and truth. We can call him Lord. We can pray. We can sing praises. But are we putting our faith, are we putting our trust into action? Are we putting the words of Christ into action? In Philippians 2, 5 through 7, let this mind be in you. We have to make a choice. Are we going to allow this mind to be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Jesus didn't come to this earth to seek a great reputation. He was despised by many. He was hated by many, and he knew this would happen, but he still came to this earth. He took on the form of a bondservant and came in the likeness of man. That's a pretty heavy statement, because he's Jesus. He's seated at the right hand of the throne, but he humbled himself, and he came down and lived his life as a servant. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to humble ourselves and allow us, our Jesus, to show us and to teach us what to do, how to serve, where to serve? A bondservant isn't a very popular word. I don't think like when you go to first grade and the teacher will ask us, what do you want to be when you grow up?
I want to be a bondservant.
I don't really think that that's an answer that any of us have given. We need to ask ourselves, will we allow this same mindset of Jesus to be our mindset? They're not easy questions to answer like, oh yeah, I will. Because we're all excited, you know, to start Bible study and we're roaring to go. But it's a daily, it's a consistent denying of self, taking up our cross and following him. We live in a world and a culture where, you know, to be an influencer is a huge thing, right? Famous bloggers and personalities is, you know, everybody wanting to have their name in lights, and you can have that blue check next to your name in Instagram, meaning you're official. You know, you're really cool if you have that blue check next to your name. We live in a world where people want to be famous for just about anything. They want to be well known. And even in our Christian culture, we see the same thing, where we imitate the world, where we want to be invited to the best conferences or speak at the best conferences. We want everybody in Christian circles to know our name. That's not Jesus. Yes, we know his name, but he didn't seek fame. He didn't seek to be popular. It's not how Jesus lived his life, and it's not how he wants us to live our lives. He wants us to be humble as he is humble, to be meek as he is meek, to be willing to serve others just as he served others. Our lives should be marked with humility and servanthood, being willing to bend low as Jesus did, to take the towel and put it around our waist and be willing to wash the feet of our brothers and sisters. Not judging them. Even the ones that it's hard to serve. What is it if we just serve those that it's easy to serve? Do we want to be challenged to be more like Christ? Then we have to be willing to listen to him and to be obedient to what he's calling us to do. Not be fake. Because if God is calling us to do it, his Holy Spirit is going to enable us. He's never going to ask us to do something that he's not going to enable us to do. We have to ask, though. We have to seek him with his help and his guidance and being led by the Holy Spirit. And then going back a bit to Peter, not wanting Jesus to wash his feet, right? I love Peter. Like, he's my buddy. A lot of sermons, you know, they make fun of him. And, oh, Peter, Peter, Peter. But I'm like Peter. I'm like Petrus or Petra or whatever you want to call it, the female version, where, you know, you just sometimes put that foot right in your mouth. And Peter is good at that. And I think sometimes when he was afraid or sometimes when he was embarrassed, what do? We conjure up words, because if we say something, it's going to make it all better. And usually it's the opposite. It makes the situation worse because we just want to chat about it more. But Peter says to Jesus, no, 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 you're not going to wash my feet. And then when Jesus says, no, I must wash your feet or you have nothing with me. And then he's like, oh, okay, well then just wash all of me. Wash my head and wash everything. He goes from one extreme to another. And that's our tendency if we're honest, you know, like, oh, we failed in this area. And so all of a sudden we're going to make it up. I'm going to give up everything for you, Jesus, you know, and we just speak because we don't know what to do. We don't know what to say. And so maybe Peter was embarrassed, you know, that he wasn't the one to get up and wash the feet. And he had to see Jesus doing this. And so he thought he would just talk his way out of it. Maybe he felt ashamed. But Jesus tells Peter, no, you just need your feet washed, Peter. And there's a humility in washing one another's feet. But it also takes humility to admit that we need our feet washed. And so I'm going to tell you a personal story. And I'm looking at Rose right here. And it brings me back to when we lived in Hungary and Doug and Rose were there. And we used to have an annual conference, a women's conference at our church, and invite different pastors and pastors' wives and their fellowship. And Rose would always bring down a van load of people from the Bible college to help out. And one year we were having this conference, and God had put it on my heart to do something different at the end. And it was kind of scary, but I wanted to have a foot washing. You know, the theme was the fragrance of Christ. And Rose was one of our speakers there. And it was kind of scary, like, to be obedient to that, what God had put on my heart, because, you know, to wash people's feet, it's not only a little freaky for us, but a little freaky for them. And we weren't telling them in advance, like, hey, make sure your feet look good, because surprise, right? And it was just going to be, like, completely on a volunteer basis. And each of the pastor's wives were going to just wash the feet of whoever was in their church. And the only conversation there was that pastor's wife was praying over each person as she washed their feet, and it was beautiful, and the fragrance was amazing, because we use gardenia oil, and I just love gardenia oil to this day because of it. But eventually, you know, everybody came and had their feet washed, and we prayed over them, and it was a glorious thing. It was just a powerful, amazing day. And then the day ended, right? And getting ready to go back home. And of course, I walked back home. And the Bible college girls were still around and spending the rest of the weekend with Jim and I. And all of a sudden, I'm like, okay, girls, thanks. Let's go back to my house now. And they stopped me. And one of the girls says, Margie, we want to wash your feet. And I looked at them, and I was like, oh, no, that's okay. Like, you don't need to wash my feet. Let's just go home. That's really sweet, though, you know, and trying to be all. And I just freaked out, because our feet, like, mine are sweating right now because I don't have my pads on. And our feet smell, right? They get junk inside of them. They have ingrown toenails and fungus, and we don't know what the feet are going to be like, right? And so all of a sudden it becomes real, because in that moment I was like thrilled to wash other people's feet. It actually was easier in that moment to be the foot washer rather than the receiver of the foot washing. And I couldn't imagine that day, like, what do my feet look like? And are my toenails clipped? Do I have polish, like, falling off and chipping on them? It was like I was going to be exposed. And I was so scared of being exposed. And I realized at that time how scared I was in taking off my shoes and exposing my feet to these gals. No warning, no preparation for this. I just wanted to be the one to serve. And then I was like, oh my gosh, I have to take my socks off. And thankfully, though, you know, nobody cared. At least I didn't say so, what my feet look like. And I can tell you, when we were washing the feet of the other women, I didn't even notice their feet. Like, really and truly, I didn't look at their feet. It was just a washing and a praying. And it takes humility. It takes humility. And it takes a willingness to empty ourselves, to be vulnerable, to allow our feet to be washed. We miss out sometimes on the great blessings that God wants to give to us because we're afraid. We're afraid and we're embarrassed what other people might see. We don't want to be vulnerable people. But the good news is that God already knows what's under our socks. He knows. He knows everything that's there. He doesn't examine us for perfection before calling out to us, before wanting to use us. When Jesus washed the disciples' feet, he didn't sit around and talk about, oh my gosh, your feet look disgusting. He didn't talk about that. He prayed over them. He washed them. And that's what he wants to do with each of us in this room. He wants to cleanse us. He wants to wash us. He wants us to come to him just as we are. We don't need to get all prettied up. Make sure that we smell good. Make sure that, you know, we've ticked all the boxes of a good Christian woman. Come as you are, the Bible says, and allow him. Humble yourselves. It takes humility for us to go before the Lord just as we are, to empty ourselves so that we can be filled with him and allowing him to place his gentle hands upon our feet and to cleanse us, to make us whole. It's important that we learn from Jesus' example to be the servant of all, to be willing to take those low places, to be willing to do the things that most people aren't willing to do. But we're going to be obedient to Jesus, to be willing to wash one another's feet. But may we also never forget to be humble enough to allow Jesus to wash our feet. In verse 1 of our text, we read these beautiful words. Before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, he loved them to the end. What comforting words to know that Jesus Christ loves us. Not just today, not just when we're doing all the things right, when we're doing our devotions, when we're praying first thing in the morning. He loves us at all times, and he promises to love us to the very end. He loved the disciples. He loved knowing how they were, their faults, their attitudes. And the same for each of us. He loves us enough to change us. He loves us enough to challenge us. He loves us in the good. He loves us in the bad. And he loves us in the ugly, right? We have to learn from Jesus. And I say again that I really believe with all of my heart that the Lord wants to use these next months to really instill in our hearts a love for his word. Even when, if you've been reading it consistently, continue to read it. But again, take out your markers, write. If you don't write in your Bible, you need to write in your Bible. You need to underline. You need to highlight. You need to put dates in your Bible. And sometimes it'll be years before that promise comes to pass. But God wants to speak to his daughters. And again, as Samuel said, are we willing to say, speak, Lord, your daughter is listening. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that it's not just words in a book, but they're words that come alive. Lord, they're words that come alive in our daily living. Lord, would you speak to us? Lord, would you just have our ears be keen to hear what you have to say? That we would read your word with an expectancy. Lord, in what you want to do, what you want to teach us, what you want to show us. And I pray this morning, God, for those who might need their feet washed. Lord, that they're saved, and yet walking in ways and trails and paths that maybe they shouldn't be on. Lord, that they would humble themselves and allow you to wash their feet. And show them, Lord, the calling upon their lives. Show them the love and the grace that you have for them, that there's nothing in this world that you cannot forgive. Lord, may we not be too humble, or I mean too prideful, to come before you and ask you to wash our feet, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, to cleanse us from the way the world has gotten into our lives. And sometimes it just gets in the cracks. And we let it go and we let it go because we don't think it's that big of a deal. But Lord, we want to be who you've called us to be. You made us, each and every one of us, in your image. Would you help us, Lord, to walk in your ways, to be godly examples to those around us, to be willing to serve in whatever capacity you ask us to serve, to be willing to do the things that don't come natural to us. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us in all truth and helps us to be obedient to the things that you've called us to. In Jesus' name, amen.